What's going on, great people? I am your host, JB the Great, and you're tuned in to episode 32 of Crypto and Chill, man. Crypto and Chill, y'all like that intro? Hell nah. I was just doing something, but I'm glad you guys are tuned in, man. I know the market has been kind of in a slump for the past, man, feels like the last month, feel like it. We ain't had no positive movement upwards within this crypto space. Like, at this point, I don't know what could actually take this market up. I don't know. I don't even think Elon can make a tweet that could take this market up. I don't know. I think the only thing at this point that can take this market up to allow us to see some green on the charts is the approval of a spot ETF, a spot Bitcoin ETF. That's the only thing I think, but I know would probably take this market up, an approval of a Bitcoin spot ETF or a Ripple lawsuit win. But that may not even take it. I don't know. It may, because after that lawsuit is over, we're going to have some kind of regulation. We're going to have some type of framework from this case, this XRP Ripple SEC case. So I don't know exactly what could happen to take this market up, but I'm hoping something happens soon. I hope you guys aren't panicking. I hope you guys didn't invest more than you could afford within this space. Like, I hope you're not like in desperate need of seeing some green candles, because we may be in for a long bumpy ride, man. And just buckle up, strap on, and hold on, especially until your ISO 222 coins. Keep those in a safe place. The XLMs, the XRPs, the quants, the H bars, the XDCs, the IOTAs, Algo. Make sure you keep those in a safe place, man, because they're obviously going to be big in the future. They're a part of the new financial system. So, you know, keep that in mind. You know, when adoption happens, you know, that's obviously going to take the market up. Well, those specific coins is going to take those coins up. But let's check out the charts, man. Let's check out the prices. We got Bitcoin sitting at $29,598 right now. We got Ethereum sitting at $2,021. XRP sitting at 42 cents. XLM sitting at 13 cents. ApeCoin sitting at $8.33. We got VeChain, Vet sitting at 3 cents. HBAR sitting at 10 cents. That's goodbye. Oh my God, Terra Luna. Terra Luna just crashed, man. But I ain't gonna give no advice on that. Me, don't take advice from me, because I'm a gambler. I'll risk a little bit. I ain't gonna go crazy with it, but I'll throw a few dollars, some little pocket change at Luna at this price. You got, you know, decimal three zeros in front of 19. So, you know, if it ever goes up, if they come up with a recovery plan, you know, expect to get some gains in that, you know, little gains here and there. If it goes off, if you get a good amount now, which doesn't cost that much, if it goes to a dollar, you'll be sitting good. You'll be sitting on some good profits. But like I said, don't listen to me, man. I'm a risk taker. I'm a gambler. I go in the store, buy a scratch off, turn around, and throw like $50 in Luna. That's just me. Don't do what I do. I may be a negative influence on your life, man. Don't take what I say to heart, please. Because if you lose a little money, I don't need you coming to me. I don't need you inboxing me. I don't need you calling me. I don't need you trying to find out where I'm at. Say, hey, man, you cost me $50. Nah, man, don't do what I do. I'm just telling you what I do, what I'm going to do. I'm going to just tell you what I do. Put $50 in there, man, let it ride. I might go up to 60, 70, 80, 100. Who knows? It's depending on how I feel. No, I'm a risk taker, like I said. But anyway, let's get back to the chart. We got Quant sitting at $72. Gala sitting at 8 cents. XDC sitting at 4 cents. Ikami, guess is how you say that. Ami, sitting at decimal 001. We got Casper Networks in at 3 cents. XYO Networks in at 1 cent. Tailcoin sitting at decimal 002. Sologenics in at 25 cents. Quarter, man. We got Proppy sitting at $1.13. Alchemy Pay sitting at 1 cent. WTK Wise Pay sitting at 9 cents. What else did I leave out? Those are just some of my favorites. Got Solana sitting at $53. Cardano, 88, sitting at 55 cents. Dogecoin sitting at 8 cents. Man, I can't believe Dogecoin is. Remember, everybody thought Dogecoin was just a joke, man. Dogecoin just really been holding up. It really been holding up. We got Polkadot sitting at $10. $10, that might be a good entry point, man. It's a good price. Avalanche sitting at $32. Shiba Inu sitting at decimal 00001. My God, we got Terra Luna looking just like Shiba Inu. We got Tron sitting at 7 cent. Polygon sitting at 68 cent. Litecoin $70. What else on here that's worth saying? Algorand sitting at 47 cents. Chainlink sitting at $7.35. ICP sitting at $8.18. Sandbox sitting at $1.30. Aave sitting at $86.54. Cool. That's it for the prices. If y'all want to look at some more prices, man, y'all want to live watch at the prices, what I use is live coin watch. And I stopped using CoinMarketCap after they did that bogus tweet on XRP and just trying to throw food around XRP. So I stopped using them, man, because you don't need no CoinMarketCap. You don't need no CoinWatch app trying to throw food at certain assets that they're probably not invested in or probably don't support. It's supposed to be a level playing field. It's supposed to be non-biased. It's supposed to be a neutral ground for all assets on your platform. You don't supposed to be throwing FUD at any. So I deleted that off my phone, man, and now I'm just using I got a live coin watch and coin gecko. So but let's get into it, man. I'm sure everyone saw or have heard or have been affected by the Terra Luna crash. So we got an article here. Doquan proposes creating another blockchain from Terra's ashes. So Quan wants to get rid of algorithmic stablecoin Terra USD. Crypto insiders like Binance's CEO are against the idea. Terraform Labs co-founder Doquan offered another proposal to revive its troubled Terra blockchain by getting rid of the failed Terra USD stablecoin and revamping the project into a new network. Quan wants to copy the blockchain's code to create a new network called Terra and to distribute new tokens to former Terra supporters like key app developers, those whose computers order transactions on the network, and those who still hold Terra USD, Quan wrote in a post on a research forum. This is Quan's second proposal to revive the network. Many stakeholders who lost money when Terra USD collapsed are hoping for a way out of the crisis, but many longtime crypto experts aren't hopeful. Zhao Changping, chief executive officer of the world's biggest crypto exchange and early Terra investor, Binance, said in a tweet that forks, the copying of the blockchain that Quan is proposing, don't create value. The Luna Foundation Guard, the entity set up by Terraform Labs to maintain Terra USD's peg to dollar, used up roughly $2.9 billion in crypto reserves since May 7, trying to stabilize the token. Data compiled by Bloomberg based on figures released Monday on LFG's unverified Twitter account show the reserve stood at almost $3.2 billion before, according to the data. The Terra ecosystem was great in terms of transactional execution, maintaining low cost per transaction and teams building upon it, said Min Park, general partner at Lunatic Capital. Lunatic Capital. Oh man, what a name. Which invests in projects built on Terra. This proposal ensures the continuation of works and progress for the time being of projects' presence and future. However, we would recommend to our teams that not being reliant on one ecosystem would be a great way to reduce concentration risk. Unlike collateralized stablecoins such as Tether, UST primarily used algorithms and trader incentives involving its sister coin Luna to maintain a one-to-one peg with the dollar. As the token grew in prominence, its backers started to build a massive war chest of Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies as an additional backstop to UST. Now, my thoughts on that, I hope they come up with a way to rebuild that system, man. And I'm not just saying this because I want to profit on my holdings of Luna. No, it's because it's word going around that people are actually committing suicide due to taking a loss in their crypto holdings involving Terra Luna. Now, I can only imagine the pain and the thought process of people that probably invested a lot of their life savings into a crypto asset to watch it just crash down right before your eyes, and you can't do anything about it. Your holdings are, say, just for example, say your holdings went from $1 million. You were going to use that to retire, to send your kids to college, to, you know, pay off some debt, to buy your mom a house, buy your dad a house, buy your dad a new boat, take your family out to vacation, take care of your kids, take care of your wife, take care of all of your responsibilities and have enough money to splurge and just enjoy life to the fullest and not have to worry about a 9-to-5 and just completely getting out of the rat race. To see your dreams and all your goals and plans be erased and crashed out, man, I would hate that, you know, to happen to anyone. Because I would put myself in their shoes, man. I would hate it. Like, you got to think about all the emotions and thoughts and everything. Like, it's like a terrible heartbreak. Just watching all of your funds be depleted due to someone's network that they really didn't, what's the word I'm looking for? They didn't prepare properly for this type of situation. Like, buying Bitcoin, a highly volatile asset, trying to peg it to a stable coin, like, that was the initial red flag. Now, I ain't gonna go into all the technicals of it because I ain't no cryptographer or nothing like that, but just that alone, trying to peg Bitcoin to a stable coin, knowing how volatile Bitcoin is, man, that just seems like a bad idea. It just seems like a bad idea. I wouldn't have did it. Like, not only that, like, not to cast any judgment on anyone, but I wouldn't have put a large sum of my funds onto Terra anyway. I wouldn't have did that, man. I wouldn't have did it. But like I said, I hope Quan brings that project back to life. I hope he has a good proposal that can come from this and he learned a valuable lesson. But from what I've seen, what I've read, this isn't his first time failing at a stablecoin project. So I hope he sticks with this Terra Luna and comes up with something, man, to make everybody whole again and to also, you know, bring some positivity onto his name. Because right now, man, his name is I think, I forgot what, I think he's supposed to be going in front of a committee, if I'm not mistaken. Let me see if I can find it real quick. I'm not sure if it's true or not, but he's supposed to be going in front of a committee to explain, like, what happened with Terra Luna. This comes from Watcher Guru. He's a verified account on Twitter, and he said, "Just in, South Korea's ruling party has called for Do Kwon to attend a preliminary hearing on the UST and Luna collapse." So, let's dive into that article. Let's see what they got to say. South Korean lawmakers want Do Kwon to do some explaining about Terra. Here are the details. The dramatic fall of Terra's native assets, Luna and UST, is no news to anyone. The merciless plummet that both these assets endured towards zero was witnessed by the entire globe. I know that's right. Now, as the founder of the network, Do Kwon tries to fix it. Regulators from across the globe have begun scrutinizing the stablecoin industry. South Korean lawmakers, however, went a step ahead and decided to probe the crypto project. Earlier today, the depegging of the UST was taken all the way to the National Assembly's Political Affairs Committee at a plenary meeting. During the meeting, discussing the damage the network had caused to several individuals, Rep. Yuan Chang Haiyan, a member of the ruling party, urged the government to bring in Do Kwon for questioning. The representative wanted to hold a hearing just to probe the matter and come up with ways to protect its investors. Not just South Korea, an array of regulators grew weary of the damage terror had caused and decided to investigate the entire stablecoin market. South Korean exchanges like Upbit halted trading of Terra's native assets on the 11th of May itself. Despite this, over 200,000 South Koreans reported succumbed to losses. Chang Haiyan added, Corn One, Corbett, GoPax stopped trading on May 10th and Bithum on May 11th. But Upbit did not stop trading until May the 13th. Upbit, which was the last to stop trading even after seeing a crash, is the number one company with an 80% share. In just those 3 days, it earned close to $10 billion, $7.8 million in commission income. An array of investors came forward and revealed that they were homeless and broke following the latest mishap. Several have even confessed to having had suicidal tendencies. With investors in extensive trouble, the government is sure to barge in. Terra's hard fork a no-go. Following in the footsteps of his peers, Terra could potentially undergo a hard fork. Do Kwon was trying everything under the sun that would help in resurrecting his assets. As a result, he went on to propose a hard fork of the blockchain. According to the latest proposal, he intends to call it Terra Classic, and the asset will be labeled Luna Classic. The community seemed to have faith in Luna, as 90% of them did not want a hard fork. Looks like Kwon has to brew more revival plans before governments from across the globe issue investigations. Like I said, man, it's just an all-around bad situation for all parties. No one succeeds in this unless there was some insider trading going on. And you really can't, you know, throw that idea out the window, because who knows what's really going on behind the scenes with these crypto projects, man. Nobody really knows if there were really, you know, some insider trading going on, but I read an article. I can't find it now. I'm not going to waste time trying to find it, but I read something to the extent of some exchange. I think Binance let a few people get out of Terra right before the crash. Like, they let people trade at a certain price before it crashed all the way out, something like that. But, you know, like I said, I'm not going to waste any time trying to find that article. But like I said, you never know, man. You never know with this crypto. You got to be careful. You got to be careful. Do your own research, man. Be careful. Don't just follow the crowd. Don't just, you know, look at YouTube videos. Do a little research yourself. You're going to feel better about researching yourself anyway. You're going to be that much confident in the project you're investing in. That way, when you do your own research, you have nobody to blame but yourself. You know, get all the way confident, get all the way familiar with these projects and the people that's behind it and the network. So, and we're going to go to this next article on Terra. Binance's Luna investment was worth $1.6 billion. Now it's less than $3,000. And the CEO is moving to protect users. The world's largest crypto exchange, Binance, had the potential to reap mega earnings from Terra's UST algorithmic stablecoin before it crashed last week. Along with this sister cryptocurrency, Luna, in 2018, Binance put $3 million into Luna and received 15 million tokens in return. At Luna's price peak in April, those tokens were worth $1.6 billion. Binance CEO Changpeng Zhao said in a Monday tweet, at Luna's price now, the tokens are worth about $2,391. But despite Binance's biggest losses, Zhao said he still wants retail traders who lost money during Luna's crash last week to be reimbursed before Binance is. To lead by example on protecting users, Binance will let this go and ask the Terra project team to compensate the retail users first. Binance last if ever, CZ wrote. That's thoughtful. Last week, Terraform Labs algorithmic stablecoin UST, which was theoretically tied to the price of the US dollar, tanked to about 13 cents. As a result of the crash, Luna, the cryptocurrency that was meant to help the UST stablecoin keep its dollar peg, also collapsed. Luna went from trading at a high at around $119 just last month to being worth a mere fraction of a cent. That is insane. All this happened within days, people. It's crazy. Crazy how fast things can happen in crypto. Binance has been a key supporter of the company that created Luna, Terraform Labs, for years. Binance's investment arm was a lead investor in a $32 million funding round in 2018 that Terraform Labs said at the time was meant to build a modern financial system on a blockchain, according to VentureBeat. But the relationship between Terraform Labs and Binance has not been as rosy lately. Zhao said last week that he was very disappointed with how the team behind Luna and UST handled the collapse. When Terraform Labs CEO Do Kwon said he wanted to port Terra or create a new blockchain and distribute millions of tokens in a new cryptocurrency to supporters, Zhao was frank with his opinion. "This won't work," he said in a tweet. In a separate tweet last Friday, Zhao said of the Terra team, "So far, we have not gotten any positive response or much response at all." Both UST and Luna's crash caused major losses for small investors, some of whom vented their despair on social media last week. Along with other notable crypto figures like Ethereum founder Vitalik Buterin and Justin Sun, the creator of algorithmic stablecoin USD have thrown their support behind a proposal suggested by a Twitter user to refund 100% of funds to the poorest 99.6% of the wallets who lost money from the UST crash. Excuse me. Why would you do that? Like, you're gonna refund the people with that lost the least amount? Is what I'm saying? Like, they say you're gonna fund it to the poorest 99.6% of wallets who lost money from USD. How do you know if people are poor or not from the amount of Terra they had in their wallets? Like I said, did they plan on, in this proposal, are they saying they're going to refund the people with the least amount of Terra? Like, if you had one Terra, you're going to get refunded? That makes no sense, because they weren't impacted the most. The people that lost the least amount, the people that had the least amount of holdings in Terra, didn't get impacted more than the people that had damn near their life savings in it. Like, why would you refund a person that lost one Terra first compared to a person that had maybe 100,000 Terra? It makes no sense. The person that lost 100,000 Terra clearly lost more and were impacted more than that person that lost 10 Terra. So why would they do that? It's crazy. The Luna Foundation Guard, an organization that supports the Terra ecosystem, said in a Monday tweet that it had heavily dipped into its reverses to try to stabilize UST. Whatever reserves it has left over will be used to compensate remaining users of UST while prioritizing the smallest holders. Wow. Yet, details on how the compensation effort will be carried out were not clear. The organization said in a Monday tweet that it was considering various distribution methods and would be sending an update at a later date. Y'all let me know how y'all feel about that, man. You can follow me on Twitter at JVTheGreat. I'm not sure how that would pan out with the people that lost hundreds of thousands of dollars invested in Luna, or millions of dollars invested in Luna. Y'all gonna skip them and compensate those that lost a couple hundreds of dollars in Terra Luna? I don't see how that is gonna work out, but hey, who knows, man? Who knows? If it was me, I wouldn't appreciate that at all. skip over me. I lost millions of dollars and go straight to the people that lost a couple hundred. Because you claim they're the 99% poor holders. Nah, man. Can't do that. And then we have another article. This is the last article I'm going to report on Terra, man. We're going to get to something else. Terraform Labs legal team resigns after UST collapsed. What a bunch of cowards. What a bunch of cowards. You resign after a crash. You don't want to hold no responsibility to this at all. You don't want to have your name tied to this project. You just resign after it collapsed. What a coward move, man. That's all I can say about that. Cowards. Cowards, man. Cowards. Stick it out, man. Tough it out and figure out a way to get these people their money back. Figure out a way to make these people whole again. Explain. Do some explaining. Explain to the community. Don't resign after something goes wrong. Those people that resign, man, I hope their names are on a list throughout the whole space. So they won't get hired or accepted to be on a legal team for no other project. You resign as soon as things get rough. Nah, man, you don't deserve to work in no company. You don't deserve to be in the legal field. You don't deserve to represent anyone. So let's get back to this article. The in-house legal team at Terraform Labs resigned shortly after the collapse of Terra's algorithmic stablecoin wrought havoc on crypto markets. A person familiar with the matter told the blog that legal operations are now being handled by outside counsel. The LinkedIn profiles of Terraform Labs General Counsel Mark Golditch, Chief Corporate Counsel Lawrence Florio, and Chief Litigation and Regulatory Counsel Noah Axler show that all three stopped working for the company in May, all after less than a year at the company. The past week has been challenging for Terraform Labs and a small number of... I gotta get some water. I'm outside right now in my truck. Got the AC on, the air is kind of dry. I don't know what's going on. Excuse me, sorry about that, people. The past week has been challenging for Terraform Labs, and a small number of team members resigned in recent days, said a spokesperson for the company. The vast majority of the team members remain steadfastly committed to carrying out the project's mission. That's how you're supposed to be, man. You're supposed to stand 10 toes down behind the team that you've been working for, that you had, supposedly you had faith in, but you don't resign after something bad happens, man. That's just coward. That's a coward move. Terra is more than UST. With an incredibly passionate community and a clear vision on how to rebuild. Our focus is now on executing our plan to revive the Terra ecosystem. News of the resignations come after a devastating week for Singapore-based Terraform Labs and the blockchain it stewards. Terraform Labs, founded by Do Kwon and Daniel Shin in 2018, is the driving force behind the Terra blockchain. The Terra's UST and the third largest stablecoin by issuance depegged sharply from its target price of $1 early last week. Billions of dollars in Bitcoin were sold, and unprecedented volumes of Terra's native currency, Luna, issued in a frantic attempt to restore the peg, but to no avail. The price of both Luna and UST collapsed. Terra twice halted its blockchain, and investors have sustained heavy losses. In the wake of last week's chaos, Kwon has been promoting the plan to fork Terra to create a new blockchain, but the community seems to set against the idea. Like I said, that was a coward move, man, for the legal team to resign. that was a coward move. But we're going to go on a quick break. We'll be right back. We're back, great people. We got another topic, and this is on ApeCoin. This is an article on ApeCoin. I like ApeCoin. I've seen some people don't too much like ApeCoin. They think it's a scam, but it's 50-50 with me. This article is, we all know ApeCoin, they had issues with Ethereum. So this article is basically ApeCoin migration draws interest from Avalanche Flow. The Bored Ape Yacht Club linked ApeCoin DAO is in talks with Layer 1 suitors as the project considers a post-Ethereum future. After Yuga Labs' disastrous non-fungible token minting its NFT for its other side, Metaverse land sale cost investors more than $100 million in transaction fees. Board members of the Bored Ape Yacht Club linked ApeCoin DAO are listening to offers about migrating ApeCoin off of Ethereum. Two suitors are Avalanche and Flow. According to executives at the firms behind both networks, well, it's just an interjection. In my opinion, they could, well, I would say they could go to Ripple, but I don't think Ripple has implemented their NFT network yet, so still got to wait on that. But both blockchains consider themselves to be better suited for hosting a large-scale NFT ecosystem like the one Yuga is building. Yuga Labs first alluded to a potential ApeCoin migration at the end of an April 30th Twitter thread encouraging the decentralized autonomous organization compromise of ape holders to consider it a possibility. Yuga Labs tweets, "This has been the largest NFT mint in history by several multiples, and yet the gas used during the mint shows that demand far exceeded everyone's wildest expectations. The scale of this mint was so large that Etherscan crashed. We're sorry for turning off the lights on Ethereum for a while. It seems abundantly clear that ApeCoin will need to migrate to its own chain in order to properly scale. We'd like to encourage the DAO to start thinking in this direction." Well, of course, Ethereum doesn't work. We all know that. The gas fees are a scam. We already know that. Like, why are anybody paying gas fees for NFTs in this day and age? You mean tell me these people are so smart, they're creating whole blockchains, and you still got to pay high-ass gas fees like you're transacting with a bank? Nah, man, that's not what blockchain should be about. Anyway, back to the article. A source familiar with ApeCoin Foundation told CoinDesk the board had not previously considered migrating to a different layer one, but that the tweet prompted discussion among the DAO's members about a potential move, which remains ongoing. While the DAO board is not actively shopping for new chains, according to the source, it recognizes its responsibility to implement the wishes of the DAO, including a chain migration if it were to be voted through in a proposal. Members of the ApeCoin board include Reddit co-founder Alex Ohanian, Animaka Brands chairman Yat Siu, and FTX's head of gaming Amy Wu. The DAO has so far voted on 11 different proposals since its creation in March. Yuga Labs did not respond directly to CoinDesk's request for comment on its influence over the decision-making process. The case for AVAX and Flow. In the case of an Avalanche move, Yuga's ecosystem would be able to exist on its own subnet, which is a technology that allows the transactions of a single application to be isolated without clogging the broader network. Avalanche committed $290 million to attracting subnets in March. Those talks with the project remain preliminary. We've had some early discussions with ApeCoin DAO about subnets. We've certainly got our pitch ready to go. Kevin Sicknick, co-founder and chief operating officer at Ava Labs, told CoinDesk in an interview. "We all saw it with the land sale NFT ecosystems. Ecosystems of that size need to exist in a scalable environment. Flow's blockchain offers a similar value proposition, having proven its capability of handling high transaction volumes with NBA Top Shot, which sees tens of thousands of transactions each day. Dapper Labs, the company behind Flow, also created the blockchain out of a similar necessity, following its famous CryptoKitties NFT debacle that temporarily choked Ethereum in a similar proportion to the other side sale. We've had some conversations with folks that are board members of ApeCoin DAO, and I think it's going to come down to a vote," Mick Nahum, chief business officer of Dapper Labs, told CoinDesk in an interview. "CryptoKitties face similar challenges, and I think that Flow will be a great home for ApeCoin. And that being said, there's still a lot of assets on Ethereum and things to consider. Pros and cons. The benefits of Yuga moving this ecosystem to its own chain are apparent. Lower transaction costs, faster network speeds, the ability to pay gas fees and ape, etc. But potential problems that could stem from the moves are just as obvious. Like what the firm would do with all of its existing Ethereum assets, which total over $1 billion in market cap. Even with its own chain, plenty of complications could persist. The popular play to earn game Axie Infinity is seen by many as a cautionary tale of migration, most recently suffering from a $625 million exploit of its gaming-focused running network. On the other hand, Bravada, based on its own Avalanche subnet, has emerged as a nascent Web3 gaming hit. As Dapper Labs' name said, the decision about migrating chains will ultimately be decided by members of ApeCoin DAO, an entity Yuga has affirmed it is not in control over, though undoubtedly influences. So I wish ApeCoin all the success, man. I wish all these projects the much success. Those that are not trying to get over on the market, those that don't have insider trading, if they're trying to run an honest business, a transparent business, man, I wish them much success. And now we have a different article, and this is Bitcoin related. This is the first 7-week losing streak in history. 5 things to know in Bitcoin this week. Bitcoin starts a new week under $30,000 as the battle to save the market from fresh lows grinds on. After hitting its highest price since the Terra Luna crash last week, the largest cryptocurrency nonetheless continues to fail to reclaim $30,000 as a support. What could be in store this week? The potential for major upheaval from macro players. Notable, the United States Federal Reserve is shape-shifting this week ahead of the World Economic Forum. At the same time, internal crypto market pressure remains as the implications of Luna's collapse continue to play out. Cointelegraph takes a look at 5 potential Bitcoin price movers for the coming days. Record weekly downside grease bulls. The sense of caution among traders is palpable this week after the past 7 days of pendant market expectations. When blockchain protocol Terra Luna's and Terra UST tokens imploded, their decline ricocheted through crypto markets, and Bitcoin was naturally no exception. After dipping to near its realized price, just below $24,000, Bitcoin staged something of a V-shaped recovery to bounce past $31,000 in the following few days. That strength, however, now appears limited as $30,000 proves to be a stubborn level to win over for good. While the picture looks decidedly more reassuring than that of some altcoins, traders are keeping away from any firmly bullish price takes. A key narrative gaining traction revolves around current levels, forming the basis of a relief bounce, which will ultimately end not just in rejection, but an attack on lower lows than those from the last week. So, Bitcoin is fighting around at $30,000 mark. Then we got on here, Tether crawls back from 5% depegging. Regardless of upcoming events, it is the ghost of last week's mayhem that is haunting the market on May 16th. The aftermath of the collapse of UST and Luna tokens is not yet fully understood, as data continues to trickle in about both the breakdown and the company's plan to mitigate the fallout. Some facts appear clear, yet have not been officially corroborated, such as mass selling of the Luna Foundation's Guard's BTC reserves. Others remain rumors, notably mass insolvencies of organizations with Luna and UST exposure. What happens next is equally unclear, and as blockchain backer notes, no one knows for sure whether the sell-off is done. Last week, there was a devastating hit on Luna and UST. We don't know the complications of this, who took collateral damage from it yet, it summarized. So, still could be some down trends, man. Like you said, they don't know if all the reserves are done being sold. Just have to wait. You know, we're going to wait it out, man. We're going to play, see how it plays out. I still ain't got no water, man. And my throat dry as shit. Man, even though it feels good outside here in Georgia, here in Atlanta, it's still, keep yourself hydrated, people. And now we got some XRP news. And this article comes from Investor Place. Dear XRP crypto fans, mark your calendars for May the 18th. It's been a rather bumpy ride lately for the world's sixth largest cryptocurrency by market capitalization, Ripple XRP. But we know Ripple is the company and XRP is the asset, the crypto native token to the XRP ledger. And Ripple just holds a lot of it. Indeed, the crypto has fluctuated wildly over the past week, surging to more than 53 cents and below 35 cents. Much of this volatility has to do with the ongoing lawsuit between the SEC and XRP's parent company, Ripple. Ripple executives have been a part of an investigation regarding alleged unregistered securities offerings. This lawsuit goes all the way back to 2020. However, as the saga continues on and more proceedings take place, investors are rightly pricing more uncertainty into this token's valuation. Last week, investors in the XRP crypto saw a bout of downside selling pressure, brought on by Friday's testimony from Ripple regarding documents from former SEC official William Hinman. The SEC is alleging these documents are protected by attorney-client privilege. This brings us to May the 18th. This is the upcoming date for the SEC to respond to Ripple's comments on this matter. Much of the SEC's case against Ripple is dependent upon these communications, which have been cause for much speculation amongst investors. Let's dive into why this could be a big deal moving forward. May the 18th is an important day for XRP crypto. Ripple's ongoing lawsuit with the SEC is just one of many factors XRP investors are considering right now. Indeed, massive price volatility stemming from market-moving events is top of mind for most investors. A range of macro factors that drove higher-risk assets higher are now reverting. Less cheap capital means less play money for speculators. For this sector, that's a warning tide that's bringing all boats lower. Given the size of XRP, which has a current market cap of more than $20 billion, the swings we saw this week represents billions of dollars of market capitalization being added or subtracted on a nearly daily basis. Interestingly, XRP is only one of a number of cryptocurrencies that has seen outsized volatility of late. With that being said, until this ongoing lawsuit concludes, I anticipate more volatility on the horizon. Accordingly, XRP is not a token that fits my risk profile right now. Let's see here. So May 18th, we can expect the SEC to respond to Ripple regarding the William Hinman speech and their assertion of the attorney-client privilege protection, which I doubt the good judge is going to entertain. Once this is out the way, man, I don't think there are much. I don't think there are much delay tactics that can be done besides them going to the Second Circuit and appealing the judge. But I think they still got a chance to appeal. They got a chance to appeal to Judge Torres. Right now, Judge Netburn is still going over these motions, so they still got that delay tactic to appeal it to Judge Torres, which I hope, for as long as this case has been going on, I hope she don't spend much time entertaining it, because everything you can think of has been gone over. So right now, the only thing that's left is an in-camera review of all of the documents, every single one. So after that, man, I don't see Judge Torres spending too much time on it, because I don't doubt that it gets appealed to her. So I don't see her spending too much time on this, making a decision. But I'm not the professional. I'm not the lawyer. You know, we just gonna have to wait and see what Jeremy Hogan, John Dean, Fred, and Bill, a few of the lawyers on Twitter that I follow, They keep, you know, everybody up to date and they give their input. So we just have to see what they say about it, you know, stay locked into them, follow them and stay updated from their tweets. So we'll see, man. This case has been getting dragged on long enough. I said the other day, really, if you think about it, Ripple is the cause of this case being dragged on. Even though I'm a fan, I'm a supporter of Ripple, and I hope they win. But in hindsight, Ripple is the cause of this case being dragged out, because they are asking for things that, you know, of course the SEC is going to fight and try to not turn over. Like, it was the deposition, it's the emails, it's the privileged documents. All that stuff is what's dragging this case out. If it wasn't for that, then this case probably would have been over a long time ago. We probably would have been close to a conclusion. But, you know, with all the stuff that Ripple is asking for, I hope it plays to their favor. You know, I hope their strategy succeeds in the end. But, you know, I'm really tired of this case going on for so long, man. It's being dragged out. We really need a conclusion. We need some regulatory. We need some clarity. We need some frameworks around this space. And I believe this case is, this and library case is going to help draft that framework and tell the market what's considered a security and what's not. So I hope the best for both of those companies, Ripple and Library. I hope they both succeed. And then we got a little bit of Bitcoin news. President Nayib Bukele, I hope I'm saying that right, announces 44 countries to meet in El Salvador to discuss Bitcoin. El Salvador President Nayib Bukele announced that 32 central banks and 12 financial authorities are meeting in the country to discuss Bitcoin. I wonder what can be said within that discussion. Like, I'm pretty sure they're going to ask, how is it going? Do your citizens like it? Do you see this being a long-term thing? Little simple questions. And if he going to be honest about it, I don't know. Just got to do a little bit of research on how things are going over in El Salvador, how that Bitcoin thing is going over there, that legal tender. How is it working for them as a legal tender over in El Salvador, especially with the prices and at the point that they bought it at, and now, which is lower than the point that they bought it at. I wonder how things are going. I'll do a little bit more research into that. Late Sunday night, El Salvador President Nayib Bukele announced on Twitter that 32 central banks and 12 financial authorities from 44 countries are to meet on Monday, May the 16th, to discuss financial inclusion, digital economy, banking, and unbanked El Salvador's Bitcoin rollout and its benefits in the country. So that was from 2 to 3 months. They were supposed to meet yesterday. So I wonder how that went. Buckley added that the National Bank of Rwanda, Nepal Rastra Bank, SACO Societies Regulatory Authority, Kenya State Bank of Pakistan, General Superintendency of Financial Entities of Costa Rica, Superintendents of the Popular and Solidarity Economy of Ecuador, and the Central Bank of El Salvador will also be in attendance. So, you have to look more into that, man. I wonder what came from that. Also, the last article, and this is another one on Bitcoin. Bitcoin mining appears to have survived ban in China. From September 2021 to January of this year, China's contribution to the Bitcoin mining network was second only to that of the U.S. China is once again contributing a significant chunk of the world's Bitcoin mining operations, despite the ban last year, according to Cambridge Centre for Alternative Finance. From September 2021 to January of this year, China's contribution to the Bitcoin mining network was second only to that of the U.S., according to the CCAF's Bitcoin Electricity Consumption Index, which maps the mining activity around the world based on the geolocational data reported by partnering pools. Following the crackdown on Bitcoin mining in the country last year, China's share was reduced to 0% in July and August. However, the CCAF's latest data show that the figure was up to 22.29% in September and fluctuated around 20% in October through January. This suggests that underground mining activity has been underway in China. Access to off-grid electricity and geographically... Give me that word again, man. Please, excuse me. geographically scattered small-scale operations are among the major means used by underground miners to hide their operations from authorities and circumvent the ban, the CCAF said in a statement. The sudden drop to 0% in July and August, followed by a swift increase in subsequent months, suggests mining firms may have been operating covertly and concealing their locations while using foreign proxy services to fend off attention and scrutiny. I know I'm finna butcher this name. Kazakhstan. I'm gonna spell it for y'all so y'all can try to pronounce it so y'all won't be laughing at me. K-A-Z-A-K-H-S-T-A-N. I guess that's Kazakhstan. And man, if you're listening, I apologize. Kazakhstan. For butchering your name, I'm done trying to say it. For example, appears to be one of the preferred destinations for miners. That's not even someone's name. That's a place. The Central Asian country's share of the network climbed above 18% in August last year, according to the CBECI. By September, miners may have become assured that foreign proxy services were having their desired effect and they need not to go such lengths to conceal their operations in China. So, mining is secretly back up and running in China. Interesting. But that was it for today, people. Don't be too down on yourselves if the market isn't going in your favor. Just hold strong, man. Have faith, have confidence in the assets that you invested in. Maybe you want to reposition some of your holdings. Maybe you want to reposition some of your holdings in your portfolio. I don't know, but just keep a sound mind. You know, keep a level head. Don't let your emotions influence any of your decisions, man. Think with a level mind and always be great. Aim to be great. Aim to be better than you were yesterday. And on that note, stay safe out here. Keep your mask on, man, because I just caught COVID. I just had COVID last week. So I tell you, keep your mask on. Continue to be 6 feet deep. Don't be in everybody's faces just talking and laughing, man, because it's still, the pandemic is still going on. COVID is still out here. So make sure you get your vitamin D, your zinc, your black seed oil. Stay hydrated, man. Keep water. Keep your suit around just in case. You know, but try to eat right, man. Try to stay fit. Try to stay healthy. Try to stay active, you know, whether it's jogging, running, walking, whatever. Just try to stay active, man. Keep your body healthy. Keep your mind healthy. And on that note, man, I'm out. Y'all be easy.